Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Back at Studio A this morning on KSJE with my guest, as I mentioned, from the Farmington Civic Center. Randy West is here in the studio with me this morning. Randy, welcome back to KSJE.
Scotty, thank you for having me. It's always a thrill.
Well, it's great to have you here. Usually we visit you at your place, right?
You come hang out.
I don't want to say there's nothing going on at the Civic Center. That would be the most misstatement of the day.
Well, let me tell you,
we are Christmas party central.
Yes. In this town.
But the theater is kind of quiet for the moment, but
right.
That won't be quiet for long, which is why you're here to talk a little bit about what you're bringing to town. And
well, we do have the national tour of Christmas Carol out on the road right now,
right.
Which is our production that we had a very warm welcome here in Farmington. We did it for two nights on a Friday and a Saturday, and we played to about 775 people the first night and 750 the second night, and they were just very warm. They laughed.
Right.
I had many people say that it was the funniest Scrooge experience they've had, and that it was also touching. So
right. I think
that's what we were trying to do.
Right.
So.
A lot of folks were upset that the Christmas Carol was on before Thanksgiving.
I know.
And I had to explain to them, I'm like, but it's going on tour, and that's why they're starting it early in Farmington, so we can see it. But then for the next 8 weeks?
They're going
or so, they're on tour.
December 22nd.
Yeah, and here's the schedule of where they are today. They're in Youngstown, Ohio.
Right.
Okay. And this is just partial schedule because they've been touring since end of November.
Yeah,
mid-November.
They shot all the way to North Carolina.
Yeah.
And then they went to Florida, which, not that anyone's asking me for my opinion, but I would do the really cold states first and then head toward Florida.
Right.
But they're doing all the warm states first and then they're heading toward back to New York.
They're
going
to, suburban Buffalo in December 22nd. But I think the weather so far has been pretty good for their tour.
And all the trucks and the vans are all working fine.
All on schedule.
And they're playing to enthusiastic audiences and standing ovations, which is certainly a thrill for us to know.
Right.
That everywhere they play, it says the city of Farmington, Four Corners Musical Theater, originally created and produced.
Right.
So the city gets a credit everywhere they play.
Exactly. You've exported this show with this tour. And just for our radio audience who can't see the graphic, I want to just mention some of the places they're going to be. Today, Youngstown, Ohio, Hagerstown, Maryland, Hartford, Wisconsin, Springfield, Ohio, Easton, Pennsylvania, Rutland, Vermont, Wilmington, Delaware, Bayside, New York, and North Tonawanda, New York to wrap up the tour.
Right.
After all the other places that we've talked about, right?
Sarah, who's my associate director and choreographer, she's playing Mrs. Cratchit, and she flies home to Albuquerque on Christmas Eve, and we're picking her up.
Okay, very good. But this is a group of Four Corners Musical Theater actors and locals from the Farmington area who are also on this tour.
You know, it's certainly a thrill because back in the day when they asked me to start putting professional theater together, part of what we started doing as soon as we survived COVID was putting one of the things we're going to talk about, we're about to do the auditions in the spring for the summer season.
Right.
But we started putting locals, and for us, that includes little ones. I mean, we always cast young people in the August show so that they have the summer to get ready for it. And then we cast everything from middle school to high school to adults in the other shows and in the August show. And so it's really grounding the roots of what we do in the community. And to some extent from the beginning, when asked by someone like, say, you, we would say, well, we hope that this is training that you can't just get anywhere, because in the performing arts, There is academic training, mm-hmm. and the college work I did taught me how to teach college.
Right.
I mean, so I wouldn't presume that I could go in and teach a college class if I hadn't learned that in college. But in terms of how to direct professionally, and let alone specifically direct musicals professionally, that's its own deal. I mean, that you have to be mentored by people who come out of New York or somewhere where they're in a fairly large market and they're doing things that are playing in that market. And so for us here in Farmington to start teaching that to our local talent, now, it won't always apply to everything you do because we do integrated musical theater. Everything comes out of an acting choice. But once you do that, it does create an intuitive and an informed performance. So anytime you want that, you've got that in your magic bag of tricks to pull out and have.
Right.
And so we think, for example, people that we work with in the summer, if they're looking at what they want to do when they grow up, they might choose to be an attorney who actually pleads in front of juries or judges because of their experience in theater. So it's not just limited to picking up your tap shoes and going on the road, but we've always said that we hoped that we would positively affect local talent if they had those kind of desires. Well, right now, Emma Price is from our professional company, and she's playing Belle, and she's also one of the creepy people when they're buying Scrooge's stuff in the second act.
Right, okay.
Creepy stuff is what we call that.
Gotcha.
Number. And then Amber Swank and Jake Swank are both on it.
Mother and son on the tour. Yeah, how about that?
Amber plays Mrs. Dilber, who's kind of, when we started writing this, it's a brand new adaption and a brand new musical.
Mm-hmm.
But when we started writing it, Lowell, who's the playwright, wanted to not have a narrator. And we get almost all the way through it. Mrs. Dilber does just the little bit about Scrooge at the end that is actually the Dickens narration about Scrooge.
Okay.
We almost got through it without a narrator. And she's his housekeeper all the way through.
Got it.
And then Jake plays three different roles. He plays the second youngest in the Cratchit family. He plays boy Scrooge. So he does the number with Fan, who is his sister, who he dearly loves, who dies giving birth to Fred, which is why Scrooge doesn't like Fred.
Right.
Well, when we wrote the number for Fan, it was such a sweet piece. Dan Kamen and I wrote the lyrics for this show together, and Justin Hill, who was my collaborator at the Sondheim Center, for 7 years we did new musicals together, and he wrote the score for this. And when the score came back from Justin, I just said, that is about the sweetest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I knew it was going to be Jake as the boy. I said, boy, if we could get a really fine younger voice to sing this. And I said, I'm just gonna take a shot. Mm-hmm. And I got a hold of Zeta Lyle's mother. Now Zeta was our
Annie
mm-hmm. in Annie. She was Little Red in Into the Woods.
I mean,
she's truly an exceptional talent out of Durango. And we took a couple of days, and Zeta's mother Christine came back and said, if you want Zeta, Sarah Harkness has agreed to chaperone her. And so Zeta is playing Fan, and when they do that number, it's just one of the most touching. I think that's the balance that we were going for. We're silly, mm-hmm. and we are silly.
Right.
So we have a full-on Broadway number at the opening of Act Two because I decided that the ghost move in time so the ghost could know about Broadway.
Sure.
And so he brings his own chorus with him.
Oh, nice.
But
okay.
But so it is our take.
Right.
You know, it's not maybe your grandmother's Christmas Carol.
Right.
But it's supposed to be funnier and more, I mean, there's a big dance element to it.
Yeah.
Sarah created a lot of dance.
Well, it's a musical. It's singing and dancing.
Singing and dancing.
And the music is all new.
All new.
All been written for this production from the city of Farmington and the
Four
Corners Musical Theater. And I think some of the reviews that I've read in other places where it's been performed are kind of talk about the humor and the music and the dancing and all the extra parts that it's maybe quite different from what you're used to in A Christmas Carol.
Right. It's a thrill to see that it goes out where, you know, they play, well, if you've been looking, some very nice theaters. I mean, just really nice theaters. And they They don't know us from, I just hit your mic.
That's sorry. Okay.
They don't know us from, you know, anybody else that plays there.
Yeah.
And it's selling really well.
Right.
And people come in, you know, knowing that it's a new musical, but not knowing a lot more than that. And
well, they only have one night to see it.
And they have one night to take it. Well, you know, Sondheim, who was my mentor, who, I believe me, I don't ever claim to get close to Steve's level of work in musical theater, but he did teach me about his way of doing musical theater. That's why I had Lowell write the whole play, and then I went in and looked at the best monologues and then looked at the best scenes and then created songs and musical scenes based on the best dialogue in the play. And that's how Sondheim approached musical theater. So, I mean, I do have some Sondheimian approach in there, but Steve...
Is that a word?
It is not.
Okay. All right. Just checking. It should be.
It should be.
Maybe it should be. All right. Maybe we've created
one. Soon to be.
All right. All right.
But Sondheim used to always say that the first time you see or hear a musical, you probably catch about 40% of it. Because unless they created a Broadway album and you've been listening to the Broadway album before you go in, or unless the show is Godspell and they're going to sing Day by Day about 8 times in it, which repeats Day by Day about 400 times,
yeah.
I mean, then you might get more of, you'll walk out literally
right.
singing that song.
Right.
But so I think, I mean, we've been checking and people have been able to keep up with what we're doing and how we're different. And if you, I see Zeta in the picture there, mm-hmm. and then Coco, who was just in, she did shows with me, Coco Colleen did shows with me in Abilene, Kansas, and she was just one of the three urchins in Little Shop for us.
Okay.
And then she stayed on, and she's the Ghost of Christmas Past, and then she's Fred's wife. In the second act stuff.
And so for a show like this, when the story maybe is so well known, can you take a few more liberties maybe with some of these things? Because the audience is going to kind of know how the story is kind of supposed to go and what's happening and twist it around a little bit maybe?
I think you can. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, when you start looking at the lists of favorite Christmas carols out there,
right?
What version do you think is in the top three most of the time? The Muppets.
I was going to say
they
the Muppets.
They love Michael Caine and the Muppets. And then the Mr. Magoo,
right.
which is, you know, boy, is that a different version
right.
of the Christmas Carol. But it's right. got a score by Julie Stein. I mean, so it's got Broadway credits
yeah,
in the score. And the Disney one with Mickey and the giant, the big, the hey, hey,
oh, right.
giant plays right. the Ghost of Christmas Present. I mean, they seem to really kind of adapt to the story. And I didn't do, when I was running way off Broadway, I didn't do Miss Saigon until I could figure out a way to solve the helicopter.
Yeah.
Because it's called the helicopter musical. If you can't have a helicopter represented, you can't do it.
Right.
There are certain things, I think, in Christmas Carol that are iconic, and you have to pay homage to them, and or more in my case, homage to
yes.
them, I guess. And with that, as long as the people that come to see it recognize the story and the build and... we have a Jacob Marley that I'm sure dances more than any Jacob Marley ever danced. And at the end of the show...
Not bad for a dead guy.
That's right. See, he's dancing. And when Sarah started working on this, I said, can we work on the fact that he's got rigor mortis? And so he's battling his arms going, or he's got to push his leg up. And Sarah and Tom came up with some really funny stuff.
Okay.
But it's within the scope of, yes, he's a dead guy.
Right.
You know,
gotcha.
So we thought, the first night we played here, when he came out of the closet, well, it's a surprise when he comes out of the closet, but he got laughs all the way through his first number. And we thought, wow, we didn't know that was funny. And then the second night, he got some laughs in his opening number. And there were some laughs that we knew we had written in the scene.
Right.
I mean, when...
It's always good when you get laughs when you want to get laughs.
When you want to get laughs.
Sure,
And, you know, I'm so comfortable. I'm happy to get laughs almost any time I can get laughs.
All right.
But, and anybody that works with me know that I am want to say, never cut funny.
Right.
So, but there were things, I told this cast, we only rehearsed 12 days. Usually with Four Corners Musical Theater, we do 14. And it just wasn't with everybody's schedule. This is, we could get 12.
That was what you got, yeah.
And So it was a little tighter, but I said, you're ready now to go learn what you're going to learn. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. By doing this in front of an audience.
Right.
Because when you do a new work, and it doesn't, I mean, our previews were the two shows here, and then bang, we locked the show and sent it on the road.
Right.
And now we're all planning on, you know, it's what we call Christmas Carol 2.0, which there are a bunch of the theaters that we've played that are already trying to book it for next year.
Okay.
And one of the things, Justin, when he was, I got musical numbers sent to me in the 12 days we were rehearsing the show.
Oh, wow.
We got like four different new musical numbers during that 12 days. And then Aaron Burke, who's a musical director that works with us, he was making the tracks. And so he was making the tracks with grand piano and bass fiddle.
Right.
And so next year, we hope to go, when we're at 2.0, we'd like to have maybe 8 or 9 pieces in the tracks, get some brass in there, some violin. That'll round out the sound a little more and give us a little bit more underscoring, because we literally, Matt, who was the musical director, was just taking these tracks and cutting underscoring together, because we just didn't have time to have something written.
Right.
So there is stuff that we've been keeping track of. And Reed Jackson, who's been my production stage manager for the last 3 years, is on the tour.
Right.
So I sent Sarah and I sent Reed, who are, you know, if I couldn't be there, and I told them from the beginning, I'm not going.
Right.
That I sent two of the best people I know.
But they can be kind of your eyes and ears,
that's
too,
right,
to bring back some ideas and or some tweaks or whatever, right?
The very first two places they played were the smallest theaters on the whole tour.
Yeah.
And literally, if you're looking at that picture, the middle flats in there are the projection flats.
Mm-hmm.
The first two places we played, there was no room for the projection flats.
Oh, whoops.
We just had to bang the flats together.
Okay.
So we had no projections. We also had a bunch of the set cut. And Reed and Sarah made that whole show work basically on a postage stamp. And those two theaters were two of the most appreciative theaters of the whole tour. They were
that?
So thrilled to have live theater, you know, back in their theater.
You have a fan club out here.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that.
It's my wife making fun of me.
Your wife has come to make faces at you during the interview. How about that?
I don't know if I can pull it back together.
I hope you can. I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can.
Well,
let's talk about what's going on.
How about Outrageous?
We're very excited that the tour is going on and going so well, and we wish them well for the last few weeks of the tour and to get home safely, of course. But they're seeing a lot of different sites of the country, and again, the audiences are there to support them, and it sounds like they're all having a great time, although it is probably a grind.
It's a grind.
To perform, break the set down, load the set, go to the next town, unload the set, get up, and everyone is all hands on deck, I think,
right,
in one
everybody
of these kind of situations,
does,
right?
Everybody has tech assignments to set
except
up.
Except the kids. Yeah, so.
And
and
the kids are doing their schoolwork under Amber and Sarah,
okay,
and they're getting their stuff done that they have to get
important,
done.
Important, so.
And
good.
Then Brian, who plays Tiny Tim, his father's on the tour. So.
Nice.
So we have parental support and now also school support going on.
Very good. Well, in the meantime, though, you are getting ready here at the Farmington Civic Center for a show coming up, the second half of this weekend, I think,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's actually December 17th and 18th. It's Sunday at 2, so this coming Sunday at 2 at the Civic Center, and then Monday, the next day at 7:30, it's Outrageous, and we've had Outrageous here about 3 times already. They are the group that are a combination, the Pink Flamingos, which was a band, and this other performing group that was about painting in front of people. 1 year, both pooped out of money in Albuquerque.
Okay.
And so while they were there, they were talking about, you know, what were they going to do next touring season? And they said, what if we, you know, shook this all together and made one show? And that was Outrageous.
Okay.
And so it's a band. They walk around and play. They do motion stuff with the kids that is all training for understanding music and rhythm. And they give them glow sticks and they get the whole room. It's probably the most successful audience participation I've ever seen.
Nice.
Because I've seen it where they really have to work.
Right.
And they just make it
nice.
Painless. It's so fun.
It's a family show.
It is a family show.
Uh-huh.
And we've never had this one.
This is
so
new.
So this is their Christmas show.
Okay.
And so they're doing Christmas songs and they're doing Christmas paintings. And that's what it is. It's literally singing, dancing,
and
the audience singing and dancing, and then them painting in front of the audience. And they don't just paint portraits. They paint 4x8 pieces of canvas.
Wow.
And they just start painting. And at least in their other show, there's one of them, they do the whole painting thing, and then they turn it 180 degrees, and then you go, that's John Lennon.
Oh.
I mean, so you don't recognize who it is till they
until
turn
they
the painting.
It. Okay.
So it's got a surprise in it. And nice. For me, it's so exciting to watch. I spend most of my realm in the performing arts. But I love the creative arts. I just don't have a lot of ability there. But to make the creative arts as fun and as accessible as the performing arts, the first time we had them here, I had two elementary school art and music teachers,
right,
and one middle school come up to me and said, where did you find these people? Because that is exactly what we're trying to show our students, that the arts is all about. And so last summer, they did a one-week residency,
right,
in the summer.
That's right.
And they're coming back this summer to do another residency, followed by a performance. I thought I had my hat on.
Nice.
To do a performance in probably late June, early July this year.
Okay. So, but they're here this weekend,
this
so
year,
Sunday, Monday.
They're performing Sunday at 2. And
Monday the 18th at 7:30.
7:30,
okay.
Two shows.
There you go. FMTN.org/shows is,
yep,
where you go to,
yep,
find more details and learn all about tickets. And but that is a very colorful Christmas show from Artrageous, and they'll be here.
I should just add, when I was running the theater up in Fairfield, I booked them, and they were very popular, and they did a great job. When I arrived here in Farmington, I got this phone call from somebody from Artrageous, said, when you were running that theater in Iowa, you booked us.
Now, so what do you say?
Now that you're in New Mexico, and so are we, because they are about 2.5 hours from us.
That's right.
In New Mexico. They said, are you going to continue to book us? Because there aren't a lot of national acts that come out of New Mexico. And I said, you bet I am. And so
here they are.
We're kind of just their hometown theater.
Very good. Well, excellent. We just have a few minutes remaining this morning,
sure,
Randy, and I want to get through the other schedule. So that gets us through kind of the holiday season, but you've got big plans for 2024.
Yeah, let me just jump to we do have on February 6th, very excited. It's one of the shows this year that we share with Popejoy. You can pay $140 or $160 for a ticket there, or you can come here for tickets at $24 or $28 for the Johnny Cash official concert experience. It's the only sponsored by the Johnny Cash family event, and this is the first year they're doing it, and we're in the premiere tour.
Okay.
And then also in March 2nd, I had so many people ask me, Randy, please bring back the 10 tenors. Well, we are.
Okay.
The 10 tenors are coming back on March 2nd, and they're doing Greatest Hits Live here on March 2nd at 7:30.
Okay.
That's the Civic Center.
Okay.
Let me just tell you very quickly that the Professional Four Corners Musical Theater is performing a professional musical in March. We're doing Baby, which is the Maltby and Shive musical. It's kind of a pop 80s.
Okay.
Everybody seems to like it a lot. It's about four couples, a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 50-year-old couple, all finding out pretty close to each other that they're all having a baby.
Oh.
And it's all weaving through how they all sort through that.
Okay.
And it plays March 21st through the 24th and March 28th through the 31st. But on that first weekend of Baby, we perform Thursday and Friday, but on the Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, that's March 23rd, we're doing the first open auditions for the summer season.
Oh.
In the last 2 weeks of June and the first 3 weeks of July, 5 weeks out at Sandstone, we're doing Damn Yankees, which is the baseball musical.
Okay.
Because we should add one more big baseball event in this town.
Why not? We love baseball in the summer. You bet.
And they sing Heart. You got to love Heart.
Yes.
So, and then on that Monday, at 6 p.m., March 25th, is the second day of open auditions.
Okay.
You can sign up through my office, and you call 505-599-1148, and just say that you want to sign up for a slot for the summer auditions. You come and sing 2 minutes of any song. We'll provide a pianist, but if you want to sing to your cell phone or something else, any of that's fine.
That's okay.
Bring your conflicts with you, because we're going to ask you to leave us with a list of conflicts. We build our summer schedule around your conflicts.
Okay.
So this is your one chance to have a real job and have us work around it. Or we do start the kids in June, and they rehearse till August. And then the first 3 weeks of August, back at the Civic Center,
right,
we're doing The Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
So there are roles open in both shows. We do have some very fine professionals coming in. But if you're interested in being involved in the summer musicals, that's Saturday, March 23rd, starting at 9, and Monday, March 25th, starting at 6.
Okay.
Also, on December 11th, are the sign-ups starting for the Children's Theater musical. What we're doing this year, the sign-ups start on December 11th, the rehearsals start on January 6th through February 2nd, and it performs February 15th through the 17th in the Civic Center. It's done by Melissa and Paul, if you know Melissa and Paul.
Yes.
They've been doing our littles
right
for years. They're coming back and doing this. We're just waiting for a contract out of New York, because everything slows down over Christmas. But I think it's going to be about that musical that might be about a newspaper strike.
Okay.
And it would be that junior.
Interesting. Okay. And we're seeing a graphic on the screen right now that looks like a newspaper.
That's it.
So maybe that's a little telling as well.
Thing about a newspaper
okay
strike.
But you can't
that
say it.
That would be a newspaper, wouldn't
yeah
it?
Yeah, it would be. But you can't say what it is until you get the contract.
That's
which
right
makes sense. So
that's
I
right
understand. But you can hint. And
it's distributed by newspaper boys.
Oh, interesting. Like they used to do.
Back in the period.
Back in the day.
They were called newsies.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, interesting. Wow, that, someone should write a play.
There you go. Somebody should do a musical.
They should indeed. So we'll see what happens. But that's very exciting. So that is coming up again.
And if any of that came roaring by, just call the Civic
right
Center. Jordan or I will happily talk to any of you about
right
any of that.
And I just want to repeat that the registration opens today.
Right.
Today is December 11th.
Right.
So that's happening right now for kids to get involved. And the show will be on
rehearsing
stage
January 6th
and then
through
show
February,
February
2nd. And then playing February 15th, 16th, 17th.
Okay. Very good. I know there's a lot of parents who are
yeah
already signing
go
their kids up, so that's wonderful. Well, Randy, it's always great
thank
to have
you,
you here. Thank you for coming in, and we'll see you again soon, because there's always something to talk about with the Farmington Civic Center.
Come down and see us, pal.
We will do it. You know we will.
I know.
We'll see you soon.
Thank
you,
for
Randy.
All
Merry,
you do.
And Merry Christmas to you and your
you
family.
Too.
Thank
you.
You
too.
My guest this morning, Randy West from the Farmington Civic Center, with me right here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.